Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad?
I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pi is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Never eat after 7 p.m.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Secrets and Spies presents Espresso Martini with Chris Carr and Matt Fulton.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Espresso Martini. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Chris, I'm good. Just downed a whole pot of coffee this morning before jumping on here. So I am good. Yeah. LFG.
Good, good, good. Well, I have made the, well, I think it might be a mistake in the long run. I bought some pumpkin spice syrup so I can make pumpkin spice lattes at home, which will save money, but at the same time cause my sugar to go, and I've already had 3 of those today. So,
oh, God.
Because first day of having them, I've gone a bit wild with pumpkin spice lattes. But there we go. Not a good idea. But there we are. But it's been a very tasty morning, my end, and a bit caffeinated as well. So, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Coffee helps, doesn't it? So, we've got a very interesting show coming up. We're going to be talking a bit about Pete Hegseth's ordering the top military brass to Quantico for a speech. Then we've got the Secret Service may have discovered a mass swatting effort in New York. Then we're going to look at how the US government shutdown may affect spies. And then we'll wrap up with MI6, who have launched a new covert communication tool called Silent Courier. So, Matt, the first story is one of yours. It's all about Pete Hegseth's very, now infamous speech, much anticipated speech last week. So, yeah, talk to us about this.
Night of the Long Island iced teas, as was foretold. Yeah. No, all right.
No pumpkin spice latte for them.
Yeah. Let's get into it. So this week, an extraordinary scene unfolded at Marine Corps Base Quantico outside Washington. President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth summoned roughly 800 of the military's top commanders from across the globe admirals and generals who normally spend their time overseeing nuclear submarines, managing alliances, and coordinating global operations from headquarters in South Korea, Germany, and the Middle East, to name a few. Instead, they sat through a pair of speeches that spoke volumes about the dire state of civil-military relations in Trump's second term. So first came Hegseth, a former National Guard major with a year of combat in Iraq. He framed himself as the antidote to what he calls a, quote, woke and softened military. His remarks centered not on strategy, deterrence, or alliances, but on grooming standards, body fat, and training quotas. He railed against, quote, fat generals, called for a return to rigid discipline, and suggested that decades of decline and political correctness had robbed America of the ability to win wars. Hegseth's rhetoric echoed the nostalgia of World War II, back when, in his telling, standards were clear and victory decisive. But to the senior officers in the room, many of whom earned their stars fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan and lost troops there, should be noted, it was a stinging and arguably simplistic critique. Critics described it as a worldview of a not terribly successful major elevated into a cabinet post, more focused on push-ups and flag-waving than on the complexity of modern warfare. Then came Trump. For 73 minutes, he delivered a familiar stream of grievances against Biden, the media, tariffs, the border, even the Nobel Committee. Most of it was well-worn Trump, barely tailored to an audience of flag officers. But at minute 44, the president recounted telling Hegseth that America's, quote, dangerous cities should be used as a training grounds for the military. The idea of deploying U.S. forces in domestic urban areas, not just to quell unrest, but as a form of a readiness exercise, was a striking and unsettling moment, even if buried inside the usual sprawl of his rhetoric. The meeting left unanswered why exactly the brass had been ordered in from bases around the world. What they got was a defense secretary lecturing them like junior troops and a president hinting at using America's own cities as battle labs. Both speeches leaned heavily on nostalgia, an imagery purposely evocative of General Patton's speeches on the eve of D-Day, while offering little acknowledgement of today's security challenges or the daunting reality of fighting and winning a war against a modern adversary like Russia or China. The result was less a strategic vision than a reflection of how Trump and Hegseth see the military as a culture war battleground, a blunt instrument of national power, and perhaps a domestic tool. Chris, what'd you think of this?
Pete Hegseth's speech kind of lived up to expectations, and obviously, you know, jokingly, probably could have been an email or easily a video sent out to
people. Or a Signal group chat.
Or a group chat, yeah, definitely Signal. And I definitely feel sorry for the military leaders who had to endure that speech, which in many ways felt like a verbal HR memo more than a serious, rousing address. Many people, obviously, pointed out in the room, are entrusted with complex duties such as managing US nuclear forces, alliances, and planning military operations. They were pulled away from those duties to endure a lecture on soldiers' grooming and fitness standards by the looks of things. There was a piece in The Atlantic where they spoke with a few officials anonymously after the event, and one female officer, who like others spoke anonymously, said to The Atlantic that she was disappointed by the contents of Hegseth's address, and she said that most officers were open to altered fitness and grooming standards, but expected the Pentagon's highest officials to be focused more on refining American strategy and winning future wars than on the details of physical training. So, yeah, I'm sure morale has been affected by this, and many are wondering if the current elected leaders are serious people and up to the task of making good decisions that do not put U.S. forces in harm's way unnecessarily. One other thing, you know, the silence was deafening, and in some ways that might be reassuring, because if military leaders were all whooping and high-fiving each other during Hegseth's and Trump's largely anti-woke speeches, then that could have been more worrying, especially for so many people growing more distrustful of US law enforcement and the military, and with concerns of sort of far-right and white supremacist infiltration of the military. So I think maybe people should take some comfort in that silence. But obviously what was disturbing is President Trump's remarks, where he said that the military should be used as a solution to domestic threats, and how US cities like Chicago should be used to train the military. And then one last thing as well on this whole obsession with facial hair. So an article in Mother Jones expressed concern that these new grooming standards will mostly affect black service members whose skin is more sensitive to daily shaving than their white counterparts. And they argue that this will likely possibly push black soldiers out of the military. And as far as I know, when it comes to facial hair, it's become more of a norm in the military due to many soldiers and particularly special forces operators working in the Middle East due to the war on terror and after the 9/11 attacks. So I don't know. Yeah, there's this sort of weird obsession with facial hair. I don't know, quite understand where Hegseth, etc. is coming from, considering so many vocal Trump supporters online have like these weird Viking beards and facial hair. I don't quite get where they're coming from with that, but there we go.
Yeah, the grooming standards is interesting. A lot of what you were sort of referring to is a lot of, you know, like religious exemptions and stuff that that people get for that. And of course, you know, the special forces operators and everything that are the special forces community is so individualistic as compared to the rest of, say, big army. Right.
Yeah.
That those standards are moved around and stretched quite a bit.
Especially as they have to work undercover and stuff.
That right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You're in roles that you can't look like G.I. Joe. You know, it doesn't really work for you if you look like G.I. Joe in doing some of those jobs. But yeah, man, a nation so under threat and besieged from without and within that all of the top legionnaires must urgently return to the capital from the ends of the earth to hear a TED talk on grooming standards and wokeness from a junior officer of the provincial militia.
Yeah, it's pathetic, really.
Yeah, part of me is also really glad that they that all those generals and admirals heard it. So it was when it was announced the week before, very sort of suddenly, right? It was a summons for everyone from Brigadier General or Rear Admiral lower half, right? Which is one star all the way up to full General and Admiral, four stars. Yeah, so you pulled people from carrier groups, the rear admirals commanding carrier groups out in the Western Pacific, deterring China, or up, up in the North Sea, in the Arctic Sea, the Gerald Ford strike group is up, or at least was up in Norway, very recently. Yeah, pulled people away from stuff like that to hear, basically a TED talk on, grooming standards and sort of browbeaten about wokeness and everything, and to hear Trump's sort of like general stump speech about how fucking awesome he is and woe is me, everyone is so mean to him, and why don't I have a Nobel Peace Prize?
And aluminium melting when a missile comes near it.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, let's get you to bed. No, I mean, part of me is really glad that a lot of those men and women in the room saw that with their own eyes.
Yes, because now, at least now, they can't put it down to, you know, liberal whining or something, as some people do.
Well, not even that. I just think it's you get the shock of seeing what the National Command Authority actually is between those two men. And I think it's good to see that in person with your own eyes and be in the room. Mm. And to your point, I think the reaction was appropriate. It was professional. And I said that right after the speech the day of, I don't think people should be hyperventilating about this stuff. I mean, the comment about the National Guard deployments into cities and everything and the enemy within, yeah, there's a lot to be concerned about there.
That's sort of his greatest hits in many ways for Trump.
It is. Mm. It's sort of his greatest hits. Trump lacks the ability to like code switch anymore, you know? I think that part of his brain is like literally just like necrotic at this point.
Well, what is the general mood about this at the moment in the States? Because obviously, over here, we're all a bit like, well, there hasn't been a lot about it other than in certain newspapers. And if you go looking for it, it's not like there's been much general reporting on it over here. And I don't think there was a bit of a joke about what's this speech going to be about and when is it and stuff. But what is the reaction over your side of things at the moment?
Well, when the announcement first came out, right, you're summoning 800 generals and admirals on short notice for an urgent meeting, which has never happened before. Like, it's not that gathering of them all in one room at once in person is never, to my knowledge, has never happened before. So that's, alarming in the first place. I think there was a lot of, as I sort of joked at the top, the night of the Long Island iced teas, there was a lot of sort of worry at first, what's the purpose of this? Is it going to be like a mass firing sort of thing? Some comparisons were made to in 1979, Saddam Hussein did a televised purge of the Ba'ath Party. When you hear that, all the generals and admirals in the U.S. military are summoned back to the Capitol for an in-person meeting, it sounds like the type of thing that like a Marvel villain would do to like kick off their evil plan, I thought it could have been one of three things. So the mass firings and stuff aside, I didn't think it would be that. There were three options that I was considering. The first would have been a reorganization of the sort of combatant command structure, which was sort of first initiated under the Goldwater-Nichols Act in 1986, which sets up the sort of the chain of command is sort of the president and the secretary of defense is the national command authority, and their chain of command goes directly from them to the unified combatant commanders, right, wherever sort of an operation is taking place, and makes the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the service chiefs sort of just advisors to the president rather than in the chain of command, right? So there was some sort of discussion that it could have been an announcement of some sweeping change of the sort of command and control structure of the U.S. military. Also require Congress, but that's an aside. That didn't happen. The other thing, which would have been, could have been sort of like a State of the Union type of speech for the new National Defense Strategy, or the NDS, which has been being drafted for a while, but that's up in Elbridge Colby's office, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. And that new NDS is rumored supposed to put a greater emphasis on military operations in the Western Hemisphere, right? Which would pull resources away from the Western Pacific, deterring China operations against Russia in Europe, which is bad for a number of reasons if that happens. And the third was he's going to get ranted. He's going to give them a rant about wokeism and the evil of lax grooming standards and stuff, which is exactly what it was.
Yeah. A lot of people were speculating this is what it was going to be, and it was exactly that. And if anything, then just describing what you talk about there with the new strategy thing, in many ways, this is a big, gross moment of incompetence, really, because you don't bring all the senior brass back just to have such a lightweight speech like this. I mean, this is very egotistical. I guess I'm assuming Trump and Hegseth thought that it would be whooping and high-fiving from the military.
I don't know why they would have thought that, though.
But I think, again, it's the maybe because they spend all their time in alt-right circles on the internet and Fox News, that they've developed this sort of false picture that everybody in the military thinks like they do.
That's a very good point.
Because certainly, if you look at like YouTubers who are obsessed with like special forces, etc., they're all very right wing, ironically all wearing these sort of beards that they're railing against at the moment. And I do wonder if Hegseth and Trump just misread the entire thing.
I think so. I mean, when I was before the meeting, I mean, I never seriously considered it would have been like a mass firing or a purge or something like that. I never thought that. I thought it would have been one of those three things, either a reading of the new National Defense Strategy in person, or what it was, a lecture about wokeism. I mean, they wrote like applause lines and stuff into the speech and everything. I think there's a...
Yeah, it's painful, isn't it? Even Trump had to ask him to applaud, didn't he? It's like really painful.
Yeah.
was cringeworthy. So talk to us a bit about this whole Secretary of War, Secretary of Defense business, because I mean, like, I'm now confused of what Hegseth's job title is. I think he is too.
Yes. Okay. Get your notebooks out. All right. So a lot of this sort of discussion, a lot of the news reporting, especially from outlets who should know better, like NPR, when it was first announced, just sort of flagrantly got this wrong when they said that, you know, this was sort of change back to Department of Defense's original name, which was the Department of War, right? That is not true. So the National Security Act of 1947, right, which was the big sort of post-World War II reorganization of the U.S. military, which created the Department of Defense, right? So that took the War Department, which was in this legislation, the War Department was renamed the Department of the Army, okay? And historically, going back before this, when at times when we were not actively engaged in conflict, the War Department was very small, like sort of just basic, like coordinating, like bare bones skeleton, right, structure that expanded dramatically when we were in conflict, okay? So it took the National Security Act of 1947 took the War Department, renamed it the Department of the Army, okay, created a new Department of the Air Force, which all through World War II, as we know, the Air Force was the Army Air Corps and within the War Department, okay, took the Department of the Navy, which was always separate from the War Department going back to the end of the Revolution, right, combined them into a, took those three service departments, which are still in existence, the Department of the Army, Navy, and the Air Force, put them into a new structure called the National Military Establishment, which was led by a new position called the Secretary of Defense. The National Military Establishment was in 1949, then renamed the Department of Defense, right? Also sort of created a expanded structure for the Joint Staff, for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Also, the same legislation created the CIA and the National Security Council. But so when people say, you know, it's just sort of changing it back to the original name, that's not true. The Department of Defense is an entirely new entity that was created from the War Department, which was renamed the Department of the Army, and other structures that were all put together, right? So to say that they just changed the name back to what it was, that is not true. And I think changing the name from Department of Defense to Department of War means that we'll be tougher and more likely to win wars is like a 8-year-old's understanding of the world.
And weirdly as well, considering a lot of MAGA people are quite isolationist and supposedly anti-war, how is changing it to the Department of War a good move?
It's weird. That's also a good point there. So to formally change the name of the Department of Defense to the Department of War, same thing with the Secretary of Defense, would require an act of Congress. You would have to amend that National Security Act of 1947, which they have not done. This is an executive order that allows the DOD to use Department of War, Secretary of War, as sort of just like a optional branding thing.
Do you think they're selling T-shirts at this time?
Oh, probably.
It's painful. I mean, it's funny and serious at the same time, because definitely, you know, it does feel like the president's losing the plot. I mean, if he had the plot in the first place, I mean, his speech felt very unhinged, to put it very...
He is declining by the month.
Yeah.
You can see it in real time. I saw the clip of a speech he gave back in the 2016 campaign, and it sounded like a different person.
Yeah.
Like, he is just actively, biologically failing in front of our eyes.
Even looking at clips from even 10 years earlier as well, he was so much more of a dynamic speaker, and even kind of quite funny sometimes and very pointed in some of his criticisms. But now he sort of just goes off on these really weird tangents, and it's just bizarre.
I mean, it sort of reminds me of... there was an Air Force missileer, a major. His name was Harold Herring, and he was worked in an ICBM missile silo somewhere. And in 1973, during a training, he asked, you know, how do I know if the launch order comes from a sane president? You know, and for asking that question, he was discharged. eventually, because you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah,
that was under Nixon. But it's a question. I'm sure all of the men and women, mostly men, who were in that room, must be asking themselves today. And to that point, I'm glad they saw that.
Indeed.
And I'm glad that they reacted the way they did.
And I think, you know, people should take some hope in that. Because, you know, I think you've said this many a time. I mean, the way we talk about what's going on in America at the moment, there's a lot of very bad things going on and a lot of good reporting about it. But there's also this sort of sense of inevitability and doomerism around things. And it's reassuring, at least, that certainly senior military people at the moment are not all Team MAGA. I mean, that could change over time. You know, there could be a generational shift. There could be people are removed. I mean, we've still got 3 and a bit years to go, so a lot can happen in that time. But yeah.
If you were in that room, you have, I'm sort of generalizing here. If you were in that room, you have about 30 years of military experience under your belt, right? And yeah, if you put 800 of them together, that equates to 24 millennia of military experience. And they got lectured by a Fox News weekend talk show host.
Yeah.
That's not lost on those men.
No, and they've seen a lot of things. No. Oh, well, Trump's lucky there wasn't a coup on the way out the door, really.
That's another point. Holy shit. That's another point. Oh, my God. Try that shit in Egypt or Pakistan and watch what happens, Pete. Yeah, so many nations, other nations' senior military corps would have handled that summons in that lecture with a lot less grace and professionalism than ours did. And I think we should all take a moment to note that and be thankful for it. They all got back on their planes and went back to their forward command posts, to their staffs, and there was no sacking of the city, that the 82nd Airborne didn't roll up 95 across the Potomac.
Yeah, and there haven't been any signal scandals in the Atlantic this week regarding top brass plossing. And
not yet. I could ask about that, but no, I haven't heard anything about that.
No, indeed. Any interesting notes on the whole logistics of getting all these people to Quantico? Is anything?
That I've seen. That was a lot of discussion. People that I was talking to in the days before the meeting, between it was announced and when the meeting actually happened, it was like, this is a logistical nightmare of like, okay. I mean, all of these men and women, if you're at that level, you travel with security details or provided by Army CID, NCS, Air Force Office of Special Investigations, right? OSI. They all have security details. They all have staff that follow him, that follow them. They travel in military aircraft with the secure communications infrastructure. I mean, these guys don't just roll around like you and I, right? So to get them all into DC all at once, huge logistical undertaking. And as far as I know, when the notification went out, there was no guidance about, you know, like billeting in DC. What do you do for ground transportation when they get here? All those little stuff like that.
Very disorganized. Right. Yeah.
They did this at Quantico in an auditorium at the Marine Corps University. It's the only DOD installation facility within the National Capital Region that could accommodate all of them.
Wow. And do we know, did they even have a buffet lunch organized?
I don't know. I was looking the day of, I haven't seen this anywhere. I was looking during the speech. I was on flight radar looking for refueling tankers orbiting around Northern Virginia, for which would, you know, be on station for a combat air patrol of fighters, which I don't know if there was extra, like a temporary flight restriction for it.
Yeah, which there should have been, probably.
Yeah, I don't know how much it costs specifically to get all 800 of them into DC and out again. Well up in the millions.
No, a lot of resources there. So yeah, no, crazy. Especially with what you just said about the billeting, it just sounds very ill thought out. Was it a 1 week notice or 2 weeks? I've lost track now.
I think it was less than a week. About a week, probably a little bit less. It's very short notice.
Yeah, it's like each of these individuals probably had staff, so to sort a lot of these things out. But yeah, mad. And then, you know, there are all sorts of security concerns there, because obviously, God forbid, somebody had attacked the Capitol that day, or at least if certain senior military leaders having to use civilian transport or something, there's all sorts of risks associated with that.
Yeah.
So it's not good. Not good at all. Right, well, let's take a break and be right back with more.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome back, everybody. So our next story is from CNN with a little bit of Wired magazine. So the Secret Service have traced swatting threats against officials, and they found 300 servers potentially capable of crippling New York cell system. So for those not in the know, swatting involves fake emergency calls claiming shootings, hostages, or bombings, and they are designed to sort of trick the police into sending armed officers. And it's dangerous, it's a waste of resources, and it puts innocent people at risk. And in late 2023 and early 2024, there were a surge of these hoax calls, which targeted high-profile figures like Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, Senator Rick Johnson, Judge Tanya Chutkan, and Nikki Haley, and state election officials. None of the threats against them were real, but they did create chaos, and it sort of stretched security resources. To track the calls, the Secret Service set up an advanced threat interdiction unit, and it uncovered a vast network hidden in rented spaces across New York and New Jersey, and apparently more than 100,000 SIM cards and 300 servers were seized, and this is the largest seizure of its kind. And the system apparently could rapidly rotate numbers, pump out thousands of calls, and potentially disrupt cell infrastructure, which is another key thing here, because when you make a lot of phone calls or a lot of texting at the same time, it does disrupt the local networks. Anybody who's ever been out on New Year's Eve can attest to what that's like. Trying to make a phone call at like midnight onwards is a bit of a nightmare for about an hour, just because there's so many people trying to use the cell network at the same time. So investigators warned that the setup could have overwhelmed cell towers, crippled emergency services, and even sent anonymous texts to the entire U.S. population within minutes. And they believed it was used by a mix of actors from cartels, traffickers, or foreign governments for profit and disruption. However, some cybersecurity experts have argued that the Secret Service may have overstated the threat, suggesting claims of shutting down New York cell service were speculative or exaggerated. And so far, no arrests have been made, and investigators haven't tied the network to a specific group or plot. And I'll probably go into a little bit more about that a little bit later. But Matt, what are your thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, this was an interesting story. When it was first announced, there was a lot of kind of fishy reporting, I think, that was born of the way Secret Service announced it and described it. There was sort of this suggestion that they disrupted like a imminent threat to the UN General Assembly. And that was not, that's now we know, like a week removed. That really wasn't the case. I think it was discovered because of the UN General Assembly. So those meetings every year are categorized as a national special security event, as are, say, Super Bowls, States of the Union, party nominating conventions during presidential elections, which is just to say that, you know, the federal government puts a whole lot more resources and manpower into ensuring security around it. And as part of that, statutorily, the U.S. Secret Service is in the lead for that. So my guess is, I haven't seen this reported, my guess is that the Secret Service and also their Advanced Threat Interdiction Unit were paying special attention to combing that infrastructure in the New York City area in preparation for the UN General Assembly, and discovered this network as part of it. I don't think it was targeting the General Assembly. I just think that's the chain of events that led them to discover it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's almost coincidentally there, and they found it because they were in that area looking for things. Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. Quick question. What is, if I were to buy a prepaid SIM in America, what would I need to do?
I don't know. I've never bought one. I bought prepaid SIM cards in the UK and in Europe. I never bought one here. I think he would just go in and buy it. I think you can just
buy one.
I'm pretty sure.
Because in the UK, it depends where you buy them, because there are exceptions to this. But if you go to one of the major service providers, you are supposed to now provide some ID, and they match your the SIM card that they give you with an IMEI number. So there's some sort of traceability around it, so they know who it's registered to. But I could go to plenty of shops where I don't do that at all. So all we have to do is go to a corner shop.
that's a good question. I really don't know. There may be some sort of tracking, you know, that they do, but I'm not sure. I'm really not sure.
No, it's just an interesting one because as you know, a regular listener of ours, Tim, wrote in with some commentary from a friend of his named Sam, who has a background in telecommunications. And so he added some really interesting context, which I'll read out now. So he points out, in countries like Italy, prepaid SIM cards require ID because, you know, organized criminals are buying them in bulk to avoid being traced. Anonymous communication, he noted, can be as valuable as money laundering for criminals. And then he also then raised doubts about how criminals could realistically get hold of hundreds of thousands of SIM cards. But I guess if you set up a fake company, you might be able to do that. I'm not sure.
Acquire them in bits over time. You just accumulate them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you've got a network, you could send out people to buy like 10 at a time or something. And, you know, so there, I know definitely in the UK, there are places I could go to right now. If I paid in cash, I could get a prepaid SIM card and nobody would know who I was.
I'm sure you can do that here too.
Yeah. So he was saying that, at least in the case of Italy, I think, which his experience are from, that, you know, obviously these cards could be obtained with fake IDs, bribery or theft, but large scale access, he says, suggests deeper failures, which might be quite probable. And so either the service providers are not enforcing ID checks properly, or there's a supply chain problem, especially if they bought the SIM cards in bulk. That could be something for a fake company or whatever. Scott also argued that telecommunication companies should be stricter, for example, by refusing to activate SIMs until they're tied to a verified customer, running checks for suspicious bulk registrations, and blocking stolen phones from reconnecting to the network. I do know, like, phone numbers do get recycled over a period of time, but I think from memory, it's at least a year over here for a number to be recycled, but I'd have to double check that. And then finally, he questioned why equipment that created hundreds of anonymous phone connections can even exist on the open market, suggesting that such SIM server boxes should be banned outright because they don't seem to have any legitimate purpose. Yeah, because why would you need something like that? It's very odd there. So I don't know who's making those things.
Yeah, I'm sure there is some legitimate purpose for it somewhere, but I feel like you should have to get a license for that, and it should be
maybe like a call center or something,
regulated.
How does that work?
There's also, we don't know, hasn't been announced at least, who or what was behind this network, and I'm sure there are certainly others across the country in I don't know, I would assume every major city at least has one of these networks somewhere. We don't know who was responsible for it, who built it, who operated it. It could have been some sort of foreign group. It could have just been some fraud ring. Like, I get text messages. I'm sure plenty of listeners do here in the States, but text messages once in a while, like about some, crypto scam, click this link or whatever. Or one I'll get is from like the Department of Motor Vehicles. There's an issue with something with your registration, click this link or whatever. And it's just a scam that is driven by networks like this.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, Wired mentioned that they believed it was likely to be cybercrime and sabotage, and they interviewed somebody called Ben Kuhn from Unit 221B, which is a company that specializes in these kind of things. I wonder what that's a reference to, Unit 221B.
It sounds like a GRU outfit.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, he's actually Sherlock Holmes, because he was 221B Baker Street.
And, I missed that one,
So when I saw that, it made me chuckle. Probably. But yeah, or GRU Unit 29155 is one you're thinking of.
Yeah.
But interestingly, apparently, it's, obviously the SERP's professional, but not unprecedented. Apparently, there have been SIM farms like this found in places like Ukraine, some tied to the Russians for disinformation operations. So it does suggest, obviously, the US bus was serious, but not the first or biggest of its kind in the world. But definitely something going on there, but possibly more likely cybercrime, as you were saying. So it's we shall see. There might be more information to come out about that. But I thought it was of note to bring up.
We should keep an eye out if there are any arrests eventually announced tied to this network. I'd be very curious to see who they find to be responsible behind it.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to swap out the SIM cards, haven't they? Because they were saying that those SIM cards do have to be kind of... obviously, you have preloaded banks, but over a while, you'll have to swap them out. So
You need a person to go into the apartment and change it.
Yeah, so it's got to be CCTV or DNA traces in there. So it's...
Right.
Be interesting to see what comes of that, and they might well find someone, but it has been a good couple of weeks now, I think, so it's surprised there haven't been any arrests as of yet. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that, or are you happy to move on?
No, interesting story, interesting network. Just sort of see all the pictures of all the infrastructure. I'm sure there are, I would assume there's at least one of these in every city in the country.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure there are many here too. So thank you, Tim and Sam, for your comments with that. Much appreciated. And it's a very interesting story. So now we're going to be looking at the US government that's shut down. So am I right? There is a shutdown now happening in the US right now.
There is a shutdown now happening as we are recording. We are in the second day of it.
Yep.
And I don't see any reason to think why it wouldn't still be ongoing when this airs on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, not that I wish that, but talk to us a little bit about this, because there was an interesting piece you pulled out about how spies may or may not be affected by these shutdowns.
Yeah. So really, really interesting article here that sort of explains, what, as you said, what happens to the U.S. intelligence community during a shutdown. So the U.S. government, as I said, we're into the second day of a shutdown. And while much of Washington is shuttered, America's intelligence community is still at work for now. A recent report from Spy Talk's Jeff Stein notes that frontline CIA officers, NSA codebreakers, DIA analysts, and cyber operators are all continuing their missions, largely unaffected in the immediate term. Mm-hmm. As former senior CIA official Larry Pfeiffer put it, intelligence suffers less in a shutdown than most other branches of government. But the strain shows quickly. Support staff and human resources, acquisitions and long-term planning are furloughed, morale drops, and the system's reliance on contractors who make up an estimated 30 to 50% of the workforce across agencies becomes a major vulnerability. When contracts go unfunded, that work simply stops. Unlike federal employees, contractors don't get back pay. They're either laid off or their firms eat the losses in a scramble to keep talent on hand. So the picture, 48 hours roughly as of this recording into the shutdown, is one of resilience on the surface, but fragility underneath. Intelligence operations continue, but the longer this drags on, the more it risks hollowing out critical support, disrupting contractor-driven missions, and undermining the credibility of a superpower struggling to keep its own government functioning. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, as an outsider looking in, these US government shutdowns appear to occur often during the Obama and Biden presidencies. I mean, certainly my memories of them, I was just double checking on Google how many there've been.
They happen a lot more often now than they used to. They tend to go on for various periods of time.
Yeah.
It depends. Yeah. This one may go on for a little while. I'm not sure. I'm not making a prediction. That's way out of my wheelhouse, but I don't think it's going to be resolved, at least in the next couple of days.
Yeah. No, I've just seen a bit of reporting from the kind of Republican point of view, the Trump administration point of view, making it out that like this is the first time there's ever been a shutdown and how dare the Democrats do this? It's terrible, blah, blah, blah. Yet I've seen many a shutdown caused by the Republicans. So it's a bit of a tit for tat thing. And yeah.
Yeah, it's always interesting when there's, you know, one party that controls all three branches of government, but they don't have enough votes within their own caucus to fund the government. So they look to the minority party, whether that's Republicans or Democrats, and they say, hey, we need your vote to keep the governments open. And then the minority party says, okay, but we would like this in exchange. Usually this just is sort of the negotiating position that you have to accommodate in some way, right? It's not so much just, but that's sort of beyond us, the politics behind the shutdown. But I think, you know, what is really the contractors being furloughed potentially, or large numbers of them being furloughed, could as it says here in the Spy Talk article, that's true. That the longer that goes on, the more disruptions you have to the intelligence community. There are a lot of positions that are filled by government contractors in all those agencies. Edward Snowden was a contractor, for instance. So a lot of those like systems administrators, sort of back-end stuff, strategic enablers, should we say, a lot of those are contracted out now. I know also during the last shutdown, the Janet contractor flights to Area 51, those were all contractors. Those were Area 51's all contractors.
So they all just shut down.
Those flights out to the base, those contractor commuter flights to the base from Vegas were closed for a while. So
Skunk Works is affected. And yeah, so does that mean
Skunk Works is affected?
Engineers no longer working on the F-47 and other things that are going on. Yeah.
Absolutely. As I saw, I checked this morning because there was one Janet plane in the air that was coming from the base.
Yeah.
So they're still running right now. I don't know if there's a timer on that or what's going on, but that happened in the past. I know those flights got shut down during the last shutdown.
You don't want to miss the last plane out of the Area 51.
No,
totally. Well, the other thing side of that, obviously, all the support staff are being kind of furloughed, etc. Obviously, that means then, even though the essential parts of U.S. intelligence will still function, it just does mean there's going to be a lot more pressure on the people who are working, who are going to now have to do extra things to cover the shortfall in support. And then they're going to become more distracted from their tasks, and things are going to slow down due to increasing volumes of information that will need to be processed and disseminated. So there is a growing risk now that something serious could slip through if we're not careful. And on top of that, what about US assets abroad? Are people now no longer debriefing agents and stuff who are abroad right now? Do we know?
That would depend. I think a lot of those people would be deemed essential personnel, right? So they're still on the job. If you're furloughed, it's illegal to continue to sort of do your job during the shutdown if you're not deemed essential personnel. But also a lot of those people, you know, they get a lapse in pay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they'll be paid that back pay when this is eventually over. But in the meantime, you don't get paid. So it's which causes real life just people, disruptions.
Yeah.
It speaks to that whole morale issue the longer this drags on.
Yeah. And the timing's this, we were talking about Pete Hegseth's speech earlier, the fitness and grooming standard speech. Uh-huh. With the top brass who are kind of flown in and out, have they been caught up in any chaos because of the shutdown? Are they not able to get back to their posts, or is that a different thing?
That was a concern in the talk leading up to the meeting. So that meeting at Quantico was on Tuesday morning. I think it started at like 8 a.m. Tuesday morning, right? The government shut down at midnight on Wednesday. So there was discussion that if the government did shut down, which it did, the civilian personnel, support staff, and everything that would be furloughed without that, you would have trouble managing the logistics of getting all of these officers back to where they're supposed to be to do their jobs, right? I would imagine, because it was so early in the morning on Tuesday, I would imagine that they hightailed it out of there. Out of DC very quickly. I haven't heard of, hundreds of generals and admirals being stuck in DC. I think they probably got out in time.
Yeah. And then there's also been talk from the Trump administration about trying to use the shutdown to cut the federal workforce even more. Because obviously we talked earlier this year about some of these DOGE cuts and things that were kind of going on. I mean, is there a risk of the federal workforce being cut even more, do you think?
The Russell Vought, who's the head of the Office of Management and Budget, which is sort of like the central consolidated human resources office for the federal government, at least the executive branch. He's threatening, RIFs, reduction in force, layoffs and everything the longer this goes on, because the government being shut down, not having an operating budget legally gives them more leeway to do stuff like that. I don't know the ins and outs to explain why and how that happens, but it does. He's threatening that and to withhold certain contracts. Like there's a big infrastructure project in New York. The tunnels going into Penn Station under the Hudson River are all being rebuilt. That funding was paused during this. I think if they do start doing that, the longer this goes on, I think people in the intelligence community and the military in national security positions, I don't think they'll be anywhere near the top of the list.
Okay, well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or are you cool with that?
No. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how long this goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it definitely sucks to be a federal worker at the moment. It's been a tough old year already, and then you got all this going on. So if anybody's living off savings, crikey,
it's not fun. And I know quite a few of them are listening. So you're in our thoughts.
Yeah, indeed. And I hope it's this resolves itself as swiftly as it can do. Really.
Yes.
Well, on that note, well, let's take a last break, and then we'll be back with more.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moro Casino, America.
Like a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So welcome back, everybody. So our final piece today is all about a new system MI6 have just released. MI6 is Britain's Foreign Intelligence Service, and they've unveiled a new online portal on the dark web called Silent Courier, which is designed to let potential spies securely send secrets, particularly targeting Russians. The system runs on the Tor browser for anonymity. Now, the initiative follows outgoing MI6 chief Richard Moore's 2023 appeal in Prague for Russians to spy for the UK. And in his final speech in Istanbul, Moore declared, "Our virtual door is open for you." MI6 advises would-be informers to take serious steps, such as using VPNs, anonymous devices, and emails not tied to their real identity, to reduce the risk of repressive countries finding them. And the launch mirrors a similar CIA program also on the Tor network, which was introduced last year to encourage potential sources to share secret information. Silent Courier's rollout coincides with the end of Richard Moore's five-year tenure as C, and he will be succeeded by Blaise Merteworley, the first female head of MI6, previously in charge of innovation and technology, dubbed the head of Q Branch, which is the name that we have unofficially given MI6's technology division, thanks to the James Bond movies. So, Matt, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it follows a pattern of a lot of Western intelligence agencies just sort of openly soliciting virtual walk-ins, sort of putting in place virtual dead drops, should we call it, which is essentially what this is, aimed with a lot of sort of really slick Hollywood quality marketing. Advertisements.
Oh, I know. The videos are amazing. I've kept a few of them as reference points. They look fantastic.
Yeah. CIA had a few. MI6 had one, especially sort of tied to this Silent Courier platform. There were other ones too. I think a few European agencies have done them now also. So follows pattern there. It's interesting how the pains that they go through to sort of say, like, no, you really gotta look out for yourself if you're using this thing. So work through Tor, use VPNs, set up accounts that don't use email addresses or phone numbers that are tied to you in any way. Like you're welcome to use this, but you're totally on your own, and we can't help you if you don't use it right. I find that interesting. But you had some thoughts on this also that I pretty interesting.
Well, yeah, it's just echoing that little concern. I mean, I think in principle this system sounds like a logical step forward for MI6. I am a little concerned with this route, as digital systems are not foolproof, and if someone were to crack it, individual sharing files could be exposed, identified, or even placed in serious danger, especially if they don't follow the outline that MI6 gave people to use VPNs, etc. So yeah.
Well, that's also reminds me of the story we covered a few months ago.
Indeed.
The old Star Wars fan websites that were used as,
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. So the CIA had that system, an online communication system, which, yeah, we spoke about, that was disguised as fake websites, you know, like sports, hobbies, Star Wars, etc. And it was originally designed for like war zones like Iraq to let informants to talk to their handlers. But it wasn't built for use against a sophisticated counterintelligence service like the Russians or the Chinese. And when it was later deployed in China and Iran, it did prove dangerously vulnerable. And I think it was in between 2010 and 2012, Chinese intelligence managed to penetrate that system. And according to Yahoo News, New York Times, it led to the arrest and killing of dozens of CIA sources in China. So definitely one of the most devastating setbacks for US intelligence in decades. The CIA system, the original one, was, you know, too insecure really to... and too easy to detect once adversaries caught on. Because when we talked about it, because they were even using like web addresses that were just a little bit, ever so slightly different and from the sort of same.
Right.
When you go into the coding was almost like one digit off from the previous one. So you could suddenly see that there were all these websites made en masse, and they also used a kind of template that was very similar, which was a big rookie error there. But it was the early days of the internet.
The way those sites were built was a CI nightmare. Mm. And I'm assuming and hoping that these platforms are a lot more secure.
Well, yeah, I think they probably are, one would hope. But, and obviously, again, they've told people to cover their tracks because they also know the vulnerabilities involved. Because what about anything digital? It kind of creates, everything's recorded. And so inherently, no matter how secure your digital system is, it's always insecure once it gets cracked. And this is the, I think, the thing where old school intelligence, even though that has its risks in itself. And if anything, old school intelligence is getting harder and harder to do, because now you have, you know, not only do you have great CCTV systems, you now got biometric data at airports that links identity, etc. So it's getting harder and harder for informants to cover their tracks, and for US or UK or any West intelligence personnel to cover their tracks too. But also, good news, it's getting harder for Russians, etc., to do it. And as we've seen with Russian cases, there's been a decline in the using of fake identities and more in people using their own identity and almost being what I think is dubbed as a butterfly spy, where you use kind of once and that's it. It's like Anna Chapman being somebody comes to mind. There's definitely been a few people who kind of use their real identity, maybe get married or something, and then ever so slightly change their name, but under some scrutiny they would be discovered quite easily. Or they rely on passports from like places like Brazil, where I can only assume that this it sounds a bit wrong to put it this way, but it might be lesser standards at the moment in certain countries as a comparison to Britain and America. I don't know how better to put that, but where it doesn't sound wrong, but with their vulnerabilities.
Right. Or you turn, say, people, you recruit people within, say, the foreign ministries of those third countries that are able to produce passports, or at least advise you on the certain security features that are built into the passports, so you can make much better forgeries.
Yeah, indeed. And unfortunately,
or obtain the real thing.
Yeah, indeed. And unfortunately, Brazilian passports have come up a lot in recent operations of the Russians. But then the Israelis did manage to use British passports in an assassination in 2010, and Canadian passports. So, you know, I think it comes peaks and troughs. Sometimes you can kind of copy them, sometimes you can't, depending on what's happened. So no passport is perfect or guaranteed to be completely secure. And as the article did mention earlier, that obviously this is not a result of policy from MI6's new Blaise Mertawelli, but she was the former head of MI6's technical services, and I imagine she probably had some involvement of the creation of this system. I'd find it very hard to believe she didn't. So she's sort of coming in at a interesting point, because she's obviously, again, from a more technical background. So, you know, we're probably going to see, or may not see in public at least, there may be some more innovations happening at MI6 in, you know, as to how they deal with things in the 21st century that they didn't before because of her leadership. So, so it's going to be interesting times ahead with that. But I just hope for everybody's sake that people are very careful with using it and don't get themselves in trouble. So,
well, if you figure if you're a Russian or a Chinese national, right, with access to information that MI6 would like to have, right, and you're willing to offer this up for whatever reason you're doing it, right, if you use this platform, okay, it's before the part where you would have established contact, right, with mm-hmm. someone at MI6.
Yeah.
It's before you're like a confirmed and vetted agent of that service, right? So you don't have the sort of protective infrastructure and advice that are around you that are designed to keep you alive, right? This is you're sort of making that first step on your own. And as it says, and it's not a disclaimer really, but you know how it says, use Tor, use VPNs, make sure nothing that you use can reach back to your actual identity. Like you are, when you make this first step, you are entirely on your own. And it's still, while this platform is there and sort of follows a pattern of Western intelligence services creating these platforms and actively advertising in the public, you know, hey, come spy for us, to foreign nationals. You really gotta know what you're doing, or you will get yourself killed.
I guess it's also open to misuse as well. You might get a lot of chicken feed now, or otherwise known as bullshit.
Dangles,
you know. All sorts of stuff. So that could even also backfire, because China or Russia could set up some sort of mass, you know, splurge aimed at this system and just wash it, you know, flood it with, you know, dodgy data. So,
I mean, whereas, I don't know. I mean, there was that operation, I think Ian Fleming was involved in it, right? There was that, they dropped a body into the Mediterranean with plans for the invasion of Europe from Northern Africa, was it?
So yeah, that's Operation Mincemeat. Yeah, where they floated the body of it was actually a homeless man dressed up as a senior military, I can't remember what rank he was now, general or something, and he had like these, you know, fake war plans on him, which then diverted troops. So yeah, it's pretty ingenious in many respects. So, yeah.
So yeah, whereas you would have to do all of that back in the day during World War II, now you could potentially do it through the dark web.
Well, this is it. And again, like Russia with all their troll farms, they've got infrastructure where they can pump out shit en masse.
Yes.
You know, I hope MI6 and CIA and GCHQ have filters that can deal with
this. A lot of vetting.
Yeah.
A lot of agent vetting, source vetting that you got to sort through with this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like there'd be a lot of freelance Americans floating about who might be able to help. So if anybody who is on furlough is desperate for some work, who knows? You never drop MI6 online, see if they can help.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Well, I think that brings us to the end of today's show. We've done very well there. So thank you, Matt, for all that. Just a quick note for everybody. So, you know, as I mentioned in previous episodes, there's an event coming up called SpyQ, which offers a once-in-life opportunity to master psychological skills, the CIA, MI6, KGB, Mossad, FBI, MI5 and more, and it's a two-day high-intensity training event that will be taking place on the 27th and 28th of October at a secret location somewhere in Dorset, which is southwest of England, so it's getting less secret as we go along. But you get a 10% discount on tickets with the code SECRETSANDSPIES10 at SECRETSANDSPIES10. I have been informed that on the first day where their website went live, there was a problem with the Secrets and Spies code, but that has been resolved. So if you did try and book a ticket and then it didn't work, please try again. But that's it, really. So and at SpyQ, I'm planning to attend. So if you do come along, it'd be nice to meet you. Please let me know that you're a listener. And, one other thing as well. If anybody is in the Oxford area between now and April, the Bodleian Library have a brilliant John le Carré exhibition called Tradecraft, which I've just been to. And next week I will be airing some interviews and footage from my trip to the Bodleian Library in Oxford. And the exhibition is all about the behind-the-scenes stories of John le Carré's writing process. So really interesting exhibition. It's free. It's totally free to go to, so just get yourself to Oxford and the Bodleian Library, and maybe swing by the Missing Bean Cafe if you're in Oxford. There's a very good coffee shop there. But anyway, they are not a sponsor of this show, but they should be.
That Spy Q and that the car exhibit, I am very jealous about, and can't wait to see what you got from that exhibit.
So I got some great stuff, so I look forward to sharing it. And we've got until April, so. You can come to the Licare one, but Spy Q, you might have to watch the videos after the fact, but there we go. Cool. Right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll have new shows for you next week, and then we will be back on the...
The weekend after next.
So we'll be back on the 18th of October for Espresso Martini, but we've got some really interesting interviews coming up. So, looking forward to sharing those with you. So take care. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye for now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. This is Secrets and Spies.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the East and North sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the East and North sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the East and North sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the East and North sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the East and North sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.